God bless all you brave souls for coming out. You know, the news tries to terrify us, but we're not afraid, right?
Okay, Romans 12, 9 through 15, page 922. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Second reading is from John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44, page 873, the death of Lazarus. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill, so the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after hearing that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going to go there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciple said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could he not, who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go."
Oh, let's pray. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, because you are a rock and our Redeemer, and we love you and need you, Lord. Amen. Do you know why the staircase was sad? Do you subscribe to dad jokes on YouTube? Yeah, I mean, those are great. You know? It's because it kept getting walked all over. I thought, you know, this is kind of a sad way to start out the topic of our emotion for today, this sadness. But, you know, sadness can be a gift. And it's interesting to think of all of these kind of strong emotions that we can experience as gifts from God rather than something to be avoided. Because are you familiar with Brené Brown? She's kind of been a popular writer and lecturer on the whole idea of shame. But she says we can't get rid of emotions. We just stuff them, and they start popping out sideways, is kind of her basic idea and all of that. And there were lots of losses that we experienced, from really kind of small ones, if you stop and think about it. You know, a package doesn't show up when you experience it, or when you expected it. And, you know, that letdown, what is that? That's really sadness. And it's, you know, it's okay to acknowledge, you know, I'm kind of disappointed that didn't show up. Rather than just kind of, oh, why can't they get that right? You know, I paid the extra for Amazon Prime, and they promised when I started it'd be 2 days. And once, I think a lot of anger is actually sadness. If we just acknowledge, yeah, I'm sad it didn't get here. You know, at least it's not coming from Alaska, you know, where or Malaysia or China or something, you know. But it's a loss. Maybe you were disappointed. Somebody didn't show up when they promised they would, or we expected some kind of response and we didn't get what we expected. Sometimes we'll get angry that way, but actually anger, and we'll get to that more in a couple weeks here when we talk about anger, but anger is often a secondary emotion for an underlying issue, and often it can be one of sadness because, you know, it's manly to show anger than it is to show sadness. We can cover up for, you know, our sadness or disgust or whatever by showing anger, but it doesn't help us and it doesn't help the people around us either. It may be a loss of some capability. Anybody here not able to do something they were able to do when they were 20? Like my mom's favorite saying, I think I've shared it before here, where she liked Irma Bombeck and said, you know, I've gotten that age where if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't work. And but, you know, there's a genuine grief at that loss, you know. We can't stay up to midnight and get up at 5 in the morning, you know. It's just, there's a grief involved with that, and it's helpful if we acknowledge just, I'm sad I can't do that, and bring that grief to God that way. But then, you know, it can come to the bigger losses. You know, retirement can be a grief because I'm not doing that thing I've done for years. Lose a job. I mean, what happened when the plant shut down? I imagine there's a lot of grief around here when that happened. A lot of sadness. A lot of people lost friends. They had to move away. You know, there's a grief with Pastor Paul and Eileen leaving. That's, you know, you become attached to somebody and you've felt their love and care for a long time, and you can think, well, you know, maybe this is better for them. But then, you know, maybe a little anger comes out sideways, and I hope it doesn't go quite as well for them. You know, just being honest, you know, we got to be honest about some of those thoughts. That, you know, one of my favorite authors is, well, actually, any the authors I really like, they'll let you in on what their thoughts are, and then they tell you what their good speech actually is afterwards, you know, so you get a little flavor, oh, yeah, this is what they really like to say, but God or somebody else intervened and kept them from saying something they might regret. And, but, you know, there's grief involved there, and, you know, and somebody moving away like that. And then there's the loss of a loved one. And we have that in our gospel lesson here for this morning. But before we look at that, I just wanted to touch on a couple of signs that maybe we're not handling our grief very well. Or maybe signs that can be indications that, you know, I'm actually feeling kind of sad here. You know, maybe a little, well, like I said, you know, one of my problems has been I haven't really been in touch with a lot of my emotions, not identifying them. And I think it's helpful to look at these and how they come out sideways so we can identify, well, maybe I'm sad about something. One sign that way can be compulsive behavior. Oh, I'm going to the fridge a lot. What's in here? Well, we're looking for comfort food, right? It can be alcohol. It can be drugs. It can be all sorts of things. Shopping, any kind of compulsive behavior, or doing something to avoid actually dealing with the pain that I've got that's involved here. That can be a sign that we've got some unresolved emotion, and it's possible that it could be sadness. Withdrawal from relationships. You know, if I don't want to be alone. Or like, you know, I've heard this a number of times. Well, I don't know if I can really be around anybody at this point because I'm afraid I might start crying. But, you know, we need somebody to cry with us. I mean, Ruth read that passage. Weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. It's a beautiful passage. None of us here would feel bad if we saw somebody else crying, wouldn't we? And yet we'll often project that onto other people saying, oh, I'm afraid, you know, to cry in front of them, right? And it's really quite silly that way. Another way we can not handle our grief or sadness well is by overfunctioning. We get really busy. Oh, I got to be doing something, and we've got all sorts of things I've got to get done. Another one could be irritability. You know, kind of short-fused. Maybe sleep issues. low energy, heavy heart, fallen face. And you know, one of the reasons I have for sharing some of the signs of this too, goes so that we can identify this in other people. I was listening to, again, I've mentioned this guy before, Chris Voss, this former hostage negotiator. And he said, what's interesting, he never asks anybody how they're doing. He says he's always trying to read them and how they're doing. So he's looking at somebody and saying, oh, you know what? Looks like you're having a great day. Or, oh, looks like they've got you running here. Or, you having kind of a tough day? And so what that shows is you're actually paying attention to that person and caring about that person. You're making a connection with them. And so he's always working on his people skills. And I thought, that sounds like a very Christian thing to do. What is it that person's feeling at this point? Is it sadness? Is it shame? Is it anger? You know, just to maybe even name that for him. Maybe, you know, they may react negatively to saying they're angry, or maybe they're frustrated, which is, you know, a pseudonym for anger. So let's be aware of the people around us and how they may be hurting that way, and just mirror it out. And if you're wrong, they'd be happy to tell you, but at least you're having a conversation then, and you've made a connection with them. You're showing that you care about them and loving them, and most importantly, that they're not alone. So let's take a look at John 11. If you have Bibles handy, you can look at the Pew Bible again there. powerful story. And I don't know, you know, in the old lectionary, you don't read the whole thing, but I really appreciated Ruth's reading the whole thing there because it's a beautiful story. You've got Mary and Martha see their brother getting sick. And they know that Jesus can heal him. And so they send for Jesus, who isn't there. They're up in Galilee, in the northern part of the country. And then they've got a good couple day walk to get back to Lazarus there, right? And so they send somebody, he's sick, and Jesus hears about it and tells the disciples about it, but he doesn't do anything. Doesn't go to them right away. Spends two more days waiting. And I just thought about that, you know, even for us, you know, there are times when we're kind of afraid of a loss. And we may pray about it and kind of wonder, where are you, God? What's going on? And, you know, you can understand how Mary and Martha are right at this point. And then finally Jesus says, her friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, verse 11, but I'm going there to wake him up. And we've used this, I'm drawing a blank, kind of euphemism for somebody dying, right? Oh, they've just fallen asleep, or they've gone to be with the Lord. You know, we don't like using that term, dead, right? And so Jesus, you know, trying to break it to him easily here. And the disciples misunderstand him. Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. You know, it's like you've been sick. You're not sleeping very well. But finally, they fall asleep and they're better, right? Getting a good night's sleep really helps. But Jesus was speaking this death. And so he said to him bluntly, verse 14, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe or trust. Right? But let us go to him. And you know that I'm sure it was a confusing time for the disciples right there. And you know, a major loss like that can be really a confusing time. God, why didn't you answer my prayer? Why weren't you there? And or maybe even going into denial and saying, I can't believe this has happened. You know, that's normal. That's okay. It's a normal part of grief. You know, we can actually sometimes, maybe you've done that in the loss of a loved one. You go to tell them something, oh, they're not here anymore. That's okay. That's, God understands, and that's a normal part of grieving. Now, going down to verse 19, it says, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And the word comfort here in the Greek is a beautiful word, in that it actually includes storytelling in it. And, you know, one of the gifts we can give to each other in times of grief like this is to tell stories. You know, and I've had people ask me before, you know, I find myself laughing at some of these stories. Is that okay? Oh, yeah, you know, it's a roller coaster. When you're grieving, it's a roller coaster. And telling those stories, they make you laugh. And then, excuse me, they make you cry because, oh, we miss that, you know, and we love that about them. And, you know, I miss my dad's smile and how he'd make the clerk smile. that's a gift of grieving there. He is telling those stories. I remember when. Then going on verse 21. Excuse me, I got this little tickle in my throat. Pop a lozenge in my mouth here. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know, as I've read and reread this passage, I think, I don't think she would have said it in a nice, soft voice. because she's blaming Jesus. You know, she may have said it in a voice like, if you had been here, you wouldn't have died. Because she's blaming, right? She's blaming Jesus. No, I don't know what happens. You know, maybe she paused and thought, I'm saying this to Jesus. But even, I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And I think this is so beautiful because she's being honest with Jesus. She's being honest with God. This is exactly what she's feeling here. If Jesus had been, because she knew that he could have done it. Why weren't you here? Why didn't you come when I asked you to? And what's beautiful, you know, and that, even that blaming thing is common in grief. You know, anger can be a part of that. And what's neat is that we can bring that anger to God. God, why didn't you do something? You know, we may be thinking, but we don't dare say it out loud, or we chastise ourselves even for thinking it in our heads. But we see here in the example of Scripture, you know what? Jesus isn't fazed by it. Isn't that fun? Jesus isn't bothered by it. And Mary is, like her sister at this point, go down to verse 32. when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd been here, almost word for word, these two women had been thinking here, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And verse 33, when Jesus saw their weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. And the Greek here actually is agitated. He's shaking with them. He's feeling it deeply with the people there. In verse 34, he says, "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And then we have got to be one of the most beautiful words, verses in the scriptures. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He shed tears. And this was even though he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And one thing this tells me in this is that both when we're being comforted in ourselves, what we need, and when we're trying to comfort somebody else, have you noticed that platitudes really don't work? "Oh, don't worry, you'll see him again in heaven." It just kind of ticks you off, really. Because what you want is somebody like Jesus who will weep with you. Romans 12:15, again, if Jesus modeled for us exactly, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We want somebody who stands with us and understands our grief, in the middle of our grief, even if we don't agree with it. The first thing that helps is understanding. It's kind of like I mentioned before in Exodus 3, God comes to Moses at the burning bush and he says, "I've heard the cry of my people. I see their suffering. I understand what's going on and I've come here to do something for them." And here Jesus, the first thing, he just shows that he feels with us. That he embraces the pain that you and I are experiencing. And he's with us, crying with us even. Isn't that cool? In showing that grief, showing the anger, showing, acknowledging to God that I don't want to admit that I have this loss right now in my life. Admitting all that to God is, he's not going to chastise us for it. He's not going to say, "Well, you shouldn't feel that way." He's going to weep with you. He's going to understand. And then what I've found, as I've kind of done this with myself, with God, and offering up to God my pain, my sorrow, my anger, my sadness, whatever it is, I'll hear him saying, "You know, I hear your cry. I see that hurt in you. I understand what's going on." And then at that point, as I feel this understanding, I'll hear God kind of gently nudge me and say, "Now help me kind of see things from his perspective," and he'll say, "Have you thought about this?" Begin to see things from God's perspective. And we're going to be getting into that. That's skill number 5 in the relational skills as we look at that in Wednesday morning. But it's something we can all ask God for. It's just, "Spirit, help me to see this new situation from your point of view. Thank you for your understanding. And yet you're with me in my grief and in my sorrow." Do you know why the skeleton was sad?
Yeah.
That's a good one. Did everybody hear that? Because they hid him in the closet. No, it's because he didn't have any body to go to the party with. But the thing of it is, just a minute here. I'm experiencing a little loss right now. Oh, there it is. Kind of reminds me, have you heard that phrase, the new psychiatric disorder, the nomophobia? Means no mobile phone. Fear of no mobile phone. But the thing of it is we're not alone in our sorrow. And the worst thing, and the most devastating thing for any of us is to be all alone in our sorrow. Whether it's a big thing or even a little thing, it's okay to know that God, you know, this is a powerful thing for me. God knows if even a sparrow falls out of the sky. Think about that for a minute. The God of the universe cares about even the little sparrow that falls out of the sky. He knows that loss. And he cares about the slightest bit of loss in each of our lives. And he's with us in each of those losses. And there was a song, it was actually a poem, that was given to me at a time of loss. And God gave me a melody for this poem. It's by Annie Johnson Flint, who lived from 1866 to 1932. Kind of interesting. Her Wikipedia says her life was marked by tragedy, which inspired her to write poetry and hymns that are still popular today. But this poem was God Has Not Promised. God has not promised skies always blue, flowers, strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, in prayer. Thank you, God, that you don't leave us alone in our sadness. Lord, that you care about all of our loss. that you understand all of our loss, especially, Lord, the really, really deep and hurtful loss. We thank you, God, that you're in the midst and with us and holding us and caring for us even through the darkest times of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you are present now and forever. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now as you go your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, over you to protect you, within you to fill you with his love and joy and peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.